The glorious new intro.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Jake at the end. Another podcast episode.
I love it.
But that's what it is. Hey, guys.
I love it. Yay.
Yeah, we're back. Podcast. Comic Talk 616. It's just me and Matt right now.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Just right now. Yes. Welcome to the podcast. I am Matt, the assistant to the assistant button pusher.
Oh, okay. And I'm Kyle. I'm still the Pope deity of the Church of Evidation.
I'm still the Kyogi Moon Baron, but also I'm the button assistant to the assistant button pusher today.
Yes, second backup button pusher.
Yes, yes, indeed.
You need at least three button pushers to have a podcast, bare minimum.
I think so. You know, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, I have some. I kind of know what I'm doing here, sort of. Not really, but a little bit.
Yeah. So,
well, Kyle, tell me about your week, man. Tell me what you've been up to.
Baldur's Gate.
Oh, mostly Baldur's Gate. Yeah.
work in Baldur's Gate.
How far have you gotten in the game?
So I've been playing for about, I don't know, like a dozen hours now.
Ooh, you've probably passed me.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I've got most of the party members now. Or, well, actually, I don't know how many there are total.
No idea.
Yeah. Is it okay if I just list off who I have?
I think so. That's fine. Mild spoilers for those who are currently playing the game. Okay if there's a little bit of a spoiler. That's fine.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I have Shadowheart, Asterion, Will, Gale, and Karlak.
Okay. See, so, yeah, you. So I think
I got a pretty good crew going so far.
You've gotten a little further than I have.
Explored some ruins. Fought a whole bunch of goblins and stuff.
So I went...
And undead people in the ruins.
Yeah, the way I started out, I spent a little bit of time trying to get like to this one area and then realized like, oh, this is a bit too high level of an encounter for a level two.
Oh, no.
So I decided to go the other way.
Yeah, have you made it to the grove yet?
I've made it to the grove. Okay.
I still haven't found the missing druid guy.
I went the wrong
stop the ritual or anything.
I went the wrong way and decided to try to go to the hag. I don't know if you did that.
Oh,
there's a hag.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
it's probably a good thing I didn't do that.
Yeah, well, no, I went that way first and like,
what level's the hag?
I don't know, but because I like
high enough.
You fight. Well, that, I think the hag has some multi-stage stuff where like you go through several parts of the lair.
Oh, gotcha.
So I went to the first part where stuff starts getting all messed up, and I didn't save when I probably should have.
Oh no!
I didn't rest because I was like, there's urgency. Of course, there's urgency. It's a video game.
Yeah.
I was like, there's urgency. I can't rest. So I ran in unrested, which means I didn't have any spell slots.
Oh no.
Like, or hardly any.
What's your main character?
My main character is a paladin.
Oh no.
And without those spell slots, you kind of just, you hit things just not quite as hard as you could.
Yeah.
My
main guy is a rogue warlock.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm just like I said, I'm kind of jumping around because I did a little wizard thing because I thought we had to get to a certain spot. So I actually got a pretty good start again.
Nice.
So I already have my second playthrough started, even though I haven't got anywhere near on the first one.
Yeah.
Technically, we're at three now, I guess.
Yeah.
With this newest one.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
No. Although technically since I basically just made the same character twice, one of them is just going to be deleted when I start my actual second solo playthrough.
That's fine. Now it looks like it does it when it does save files, it does it by character. So
yeah,
so it's just like indexed already, and so you don't have to just, you know, accidentally overwrite your own save.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah.
I've got two different files with Frax, and only one of them is going to be with you guys.
Okay, well, that's fair.
So, I don't need to do the same character twice.
That's fair. Apparently, the only difference with the multiplayer, if you join in like mid game or whatever, you can still remake a character. But the only time you could do the origins characters, meaning the regular NPCs, yeah, you can do it at the beginning.
Yeah,
and then you can't do it anymore, which makes sense given that you find them throughout the story still.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have more to report on that next week because we're gonna have our first big.
Yep, streaming.
It's a big streaming session.
Yeah, you should come hang out for the second one since by the time you're hearing this, the first one's already done.
Most likely. We did the intro a little bit earlier this afternoon, basically made characters and got off the ship. That's as far as we got. So if you've played the game, you'll know what that means. If you haven't, spoilers, there's ships.
Yeah.
It's like to be fair, that open cinematic intro has been out for like a year.
Yeah.
So
seen that a few times now.
Yeah, yeah.
By a few, I mean like 13.
I've seen it about 13, a dozen. 14. I'm somewhere around a dozen myself. What else did you do? Anything else cool, fun, nerdy?
Mainly just work and Baldur's Gate.
Nice.
Oh, I guess we are getting closer to being caught up on One Piece.
Oh,
we're now at Whole Cake now.
Oh man, yeah, you're racing through there. You're close. That one's pretty long, but yeah, you're getting close to. Yeah,
I think last time I talked to you about it, we weren't even on Zoe yet.
So I don't think so.
Yeah, we just met a couple members of Germa 66, so that's interesting.
That is interesting for sure.
Yes,
that gets more and more interesting the more it goes on. I didn't realize there was like, it's one of those things where you didn't really like think about that. Oh yeah, there is a story there.
Yep, the two we've met so far are already crazy. and I'm sure they just get progressively more so.
You're around where my favorite slash most like puzzling devil fruit of all time is the castle fruit.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just like
the Al Capone looking dude.
Well, but how does that work? How can he have a tiny version of himself inside of himself?
Yep.
And then he's a castle man?
Yep. The more you think about it, the less it makes sense.
Yeah.
And just don't question it. It's One Piece.
So if he gets shot in the castle, does it get a?
If you die in the castle, you die in real life.
If you die in real life, you die in the castle. No. So those aside, that sounds pretty.
Yeah. That dude is trippy, to say the least.
That sounds like it for sure. Well,
so yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about you, man?
Nice. I've been trying to catch up on a few things. This week I made like a little miniature set. We had a special one-shot D&D game for our D&D Saturday game.
Cool.
We had a horror type one-shot. It was kind of fun. So I made a little set, basically, like a little board, like with cross-hatched different grass like squares
and
like regular green stuff, made some graves.
Cool.
That takes a little longer than it always takes longer than I think it's gonna. I'm always like, this is gonna take an hour. No, it takes like many hours.
Oh man.
So I did that this week. I did also check out the first episode of Invincible.
I need to do that still.
First episode is pretty good so far.
Yeah.
It's not as dramatic as the very first episode, but that's
tough to top that.
Tough to top that
little,
for sure.
That little twist at the end, it's kind of a tone setter.
Yeah, definitely. Well, but in this, like, this shows some interesting stuff, basically like how stuff's been shaken out after in the aftermath.
Yeah.
Which is quite pretty interesting. I think they're gonna do some great things with this show. I'm really curious because I've gotten spoilers because at one point I was like, I'm never going to read this. So I watched all the like recap, the recaps or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with the story at this point.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, just a little. Other than that, yeah, mostly Baldur's Gate and trying to finish up on other things.
Yeah,
I'm getting to the end of a book series that I was doing on audiobook. It is about D&D because I, of course, I'm a fanatic apparently at this point.
Yeah, that's okay. We all know, man.
Well, so it was a
don't need to hide it.
It was an older book that was kind of ragging on like some of the older versions of D&D.
Oh, interesting.
So this isn't like an unofficial thing. So they don't say D&D; they say C&C. So the game they're playing is Caverns and Creatures, not Dungeons and Dragons.
Caverns and Creatures. That's
clever. But it's called Critical Failures. And it's gotten some like funny moments, but where they're at, I feel like it's going to be a really disappointing ending because I see the number coming up and I'm like, ooh, that's coming up too fast.
Yeah. I guess they're going to
kind of
roll one too many critical failures and
I guess
bad end.
No, it's like a D&D isekai kind of thing.
Interesting. Okay.
Where there's a bunch of like people and they're all like all the characters in this book are horrible people. Like they're bad people. Every single one of them.
Yeah. Now that you bring that up, have there been any anime that
just has
have D&D like mechanics?
There's been some, I mean,
I know like it's really popular right now, especially in isekai anime to do like video game mechanics.
Yeah.
But any like actual D&D mechanics?
Not that I know of. There's been a lot of fantasy world isekai ones. There's like, that's like half in, as far as I can tell.
I think it'd be pretty cool if they made an anime where the characters actually like rolled magic die to determine their attacks, strength and accuracy and all that stuff. And just like made the battles kind of more like random and chaotic.
So you basically, what was that one with the tops? Now I can't remember the Beyblade. That was the one.
Beyblade.
It's like Beyblade, but it's just like D&D, but it's not really D&D. So it just has like a little virtual thing that pops up.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I still think they should have like, you know, like they should actually, you know, physically be in another world and you know, be actual, you know, barbarians and wizards and all that fun stuff. But like just when they go to attack something, they have to roll a magical dice. Magical die.
I don't know if that how involved that was in the cartoon, but there was a cartoon that was very similar to this.
Yeah, I mean, it has to have been done at some point.
At one point, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, so it wasn't super popular. It was just popular enough that people know about it.
Is D&D even big in Japan at all?
You know, I bet by now it's getting there.
It should be by now, yeah.
Well, because in the same way that like we have big things on like Japanese culture is so cool in the U.S., they do the Americana thing where they're like, this is kind of like American stuff's kind of cool too.
I've heard the Japanese dub of King of the Hill slaps.
Really?
Yes, randomly.
Did not know there was a Japanese dub for that.
Yes.
Kind of interesting.
Apparently it's like wildly popular in Japan.
Really?
King of the Hill. Who would have known?
I guess. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty popular here, but not that popular, I wouldn't say.
It's pretty popular.
Yeah.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah, it has been around for a bit, to be fair.
But yeah, I think it's like kind of like more recently gaining popularity in Japan. Like it's just like the wave is hitting them now.
Okay. I wonder like, you know, I feel like that's one of those things that's like eventually going to kind of sneak into all kinds of American pop culture stuff at this point because it's getting involved. I bet Stranger Things had something to do with some of that too.
Yeah, probably.
I wonder how many international people they got from that. I'd be kind of curious.
Yeah, good point.
Because I know like their platform basically almost tripled when Stranger Things came out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The Japanese Netflix
platform? No, D&D Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
So
that would too, probably.
They're using that as a kind of a metric of like how many people are playing.
Gotcha.
It's the easiest tool to use. Yeah. There's other ones that are really good too, but this one, like, honestly, I can show somebody how to make a D&D character in about 10 minutes, which is pretty quick.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Pretty quick considering I'm like, it's a solid 10 minutes of me talking like, oh, this does this, this does this, this does this. Like somebody brand new, I've kind of used that to show.
Yeah, I've used it myself. It is pretty handy.
It is indeed. It is indeed. All right. Well, with that, let's get on to our news stories.
Let's do it.
Where do we want to start?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Oh, gosh. Well, no, let's talk about the Baldur's Gate one. Since, like,
yeah, since we're already
talking about it. Since we're already talking about it, we're already on the subject. so there was a Baldur's Gate player, and there's a few players that were using the sausages, which are, you can get, like, some wrapped sausages as a...
yeah, the salami.
A salami. And you can use it as a blunt weapon.
Yep.
So, because it's a video game and people can...
And the internet is a thing.
And the internet is a thing. Somebody has made, I think... Oh, did they call it Sausage Samurai, I think?
It's a Salami Mancer.
Salami Mancer. Yeah, there we go.
Salami Mancer.
Salami Mancer. That's the one. Yeah, they basically made a half magic build using the salamis as main weapons.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty great, considering, like, because you can.
Why not?
At a certain point, yeah. At a certain point, base weapon, not super important. Mostly it's the other damage that, like, really goes up, so.
Yeah.
I could see it. I would be sad that there aren't any, like, super Italian costumes in the game, as far as I know.
Oh, that'd be so funny. Have just Mario Luigi running around smacking a bunch of goblins with salami.
Just destroy, yeah. I just want to see, yeah, somebody just running up. They're just smacking Tiamat with a sausage. The Salami Mancer.
Boom, in the face.
Not the hero that we want, but the hero we need right now. The hero
that we need right now.
Exactly. The Salami Mancer. So ridiculous.
Yep, that's freaking awesome. You know, they have baguettes. You should be able to do that with baguettes, too. That'd be fun.
Oh, but then you could make a French one.
Yes, indeed.
the French bread bunk. Goodness. Well, while we're in a silly mood a little bit, there's a pretty famous 90s Captain America a specific drawing that people would make kind of fun of a little bit. It is Rob Liefeld, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's the Captain America with, like, the chest that's at the same size as the rest of his body, basically.
Yeah, that's an incredibly beefed up Captain America. Holy cow.
So apparently this one is about to go up on auction, and I kind of want it just because, like, that's hilarious, but let's see. Do they have the number?
Oh, those are America's pecs right there.
Those are indeed.
Good Lord. Texas-sized.
Let's see. Do they see how much it's going to go for? No, they do not. They don't have an estimation in here, but...
It's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be something ridiculous because it not only is... It's, like, it's iconic because of its ridiculousness, because that was the... In that weird 90s era where Liefeld was doing a lot of art, he was also famous for pouches. Like, so everybody had, like, 30 pouches on their costumes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was, yeah, the big beefy chests and pouches. Yeah,
he doesn't need any pouches on that. Just stick them right in the muscles.
Yeah. I think he's brought all the guns. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, Captain America doesn't need guns. He brought all of them with him.
Yeah, the whole entire gun store.
Goodness.
Walking around.
He looks like he could bench press a bus.
Yeah. He looks like he could curl a bus.
Probably. Anyways. Yeah, so in reference to the silliness, that is apparently up for auction. So if you want to do it, it's, you know, it's up there. It's ready to go. So just, you know, show up to the auction. Oh, yeah, there we go. It's from Heritage Auctions. It's currently going for $8,000 for the black and white.
His head looks so tiny.
It does by comparison. Compared
to everything else.
His head is about a third the size of the rest of his, like, chest.
One of his pecs is bigger than his head.
I think it is.
That's insane.
I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Man. The 90s were a time, weren't they?
Like I said, yeah, that's kind of a iconic thing now, because, like, that is very reminiscent of the style of the era.
Yeah.
Because, oh, like we'll still get some art like that, but, man, we're not getting a bunch of art like that.
Yeah, I remember all the edgy Batman covers from that era, too.
Oh, 90s, yeah.
90s were a time, man.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
And Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yep. Good times.
Good times for sure.
Our childhood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Let's jump over here. So we'll kind of jump, do some stuff in the talk. We'll talk about Marvel, and then we'll jump around. Okay. So there are some like theories, a lot of stuff going around about what Marvel's going to start doing in its next phases, its next steps. A lot of people are thinking that Doctor Doom is going to be introduced in Secret Wars. If he does, it's going to be the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
It'll be really cool to see what they do with Doctor Doom, if they actually do him okay. I'm hesitant at this point.
That's a tough one.
To nail. They can't pull some Taskmaster stuff where they're like, that's not really what he looks like. It's a different person. No, you can't mess with that. Like, there are certain characters.
Yeah, same thing with, like, the Mandalorian and Iron Man 3.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, you can't do that with Doctor Doom.
You can't mess with that.
Don't do it.
Like, do not mess with that. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, now that I think about it, they've done that, like, multiple times now. Why do they like to do that so much?
Where they're like, haha, secretly not. They did that with the Mandarin, too. And that was...
like, here's that thing that we know that you really want, and we're going to just pull the rug out from
under you. Rug pull, yeah, exactly.
Like, why do they think that... yeah, that's... I don't know. Like, one time, like, I get it. Like, you know, that's a funny gag. But, like, multiple times, like, why are you doing this to us?
Yeah.
Come on, Marvel.
Oh, the Taskmaster one killed me a little bit. They made a cool character, but, like, just don't call it Taskmaster, please.
Yeah.
Please. I want Taskmaster to be the cool Taskmaster guy.
Yeah.
With the weird skull, and no one ever explains why he never takes it off, and nobody ever really sees his face.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. There's another pretty big one that was... this one's more of a fan one. It's towards the bottom of this stuff. This one was another big fan thing. This is a fan theory. So the fan theory is that... the Marvel's movie is going to be the actual introduction of the X-Men. Although they are saying this.
Interesting.
They are saying this with every multiverse type thing that Marvel's been doing. So they were saying that about Spider-Man as well. Like, they were like, the X-Men are going to show up at the end. They didn't. But
I think the most logical one would be the Deadpool movie.
It would be the Deadpool movie. And I'd be really surprised if they didn't.
Deadpool 3.
They thought they might introduce him here and then have them in the Deadpool movie. The only evidence they have is that it appears that a letter stays on screen a little longer than the other ones in one of the text flashes.
Oh, interesting.
So that's really
so just probably just the letter X, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. And like, it's not. You have to slow it down. So if it is, like, if this is true, and if that is what that is, you know, if that is actually showing, like, the X-Men are going to be showing up in this movie, I would be really surprised. Yeah. I would also be, like, really surprised that somebody caught that, because...
yeah, for real.
Like, I watched it a couple times. It's nothing.
Not noticeable.
It's not noticeable at all.
Yeah, they're probably grasping at straws.
I feel like they might be grasping at straws. It would be kind of...
that'd be cool, though.
It would be kind of cool. I almost feel like it feels a little on brand for the current Marvel, that's kind of like been like, okay, So we're not sure if people are going to like this, so we're going to push this movie hard. Because they're pushing this Marvel, the Marvels thing pretty hard. I, in my humble opinion, I'll, you know, give it a chance. But I don't have high hopes for it. And yeah. A lot of people I know are like, probably aren't going to watch it. But if the X-Men are in it, they probably will.
Yeah, from I heard that it's tracking to have less, like the ticket pre-sales, it's tracking to have a lower opening weekend than The Flash, which I highly doubt. I highly doubt that'll happen, but because it's still a Marvel movie.
It's still a Marvel movie. Well, and it, like I said, I think it looks fun, regardless.
Yeah,
it
looks fun.
But like, does it look like movie of the year? No. Does it
definitely
look like,
not.
Does it look like the best Marvel movie of the year? Still no.
Yeah, and yeah, I think the other thing is that it's like you had to watch two of the Disney Plus shows to know where two of the main three characters are coming from.
Right.
And then also, like, when did the first Captain Marvel movie come out?
Oh, shoot. I don't even know.
And, like, and has she done anything in any of the Marvel stuff since Endgame?
No. But so, Monica Rambeau was in Scarlet Witch for a brief second.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
Like, well, not a brief second, but a few times. Let's see. When's the movie? When's that movie?
Or the WandaVision?
So, right. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. WandaVision. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're good.
Had that wrong. 2019 is when Captain Marvel came out. So,
holy cow.
Like, yeah, that's a...
Actually, you know what? Not as long ago as I thought.
Not as long ago as it felt like, but it's because everything before 2020 feels like a year. Like, feels like a decade ago now.
For real. Yeah. For real. Yeah, that year was more like 5 years.
That's very true. That is quite true. So I talked.
I personally was not a huge fan of the Captain Marvel movie myself either.
Right. It was. Okay. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was okay. It was just all right.
I wasn't sad that I watched it, but it's probably not going to be one that I like repeat watch every year.
Yeah.
I might watch it twice if somebody else is watching it for the first time.
Yeah. If I'm going back, I'm watching like the Iron Man movies. I'm watching the Avengers.
Yeah.
First Black Panther. Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think I'm going back and watching other stuff first, too.
Yeah, those are the ones that I would be prioritizing if I ever do a back from the beginning of the MCU.
Yeah, yeah. So
with maybe we should do that one of these days. Like, just rewatch some of the MCU movies and then give our, like, updated reviews. Like, how well has this aged?
Was that on a Wednesday? I think that was on Wednesday. They have announced that every Marvel movie is officially canon because they're separate multiverses.
Oh, okay.
So
are they sure they want to do that?
Apparently. So yes. So
it's like including the animated movies.
So the Punisher Warzone is now canonized.
No. Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Howard the Duck. That's canon.
Canon
baby.
Now. Oh
it's
yeah.
It's canon. You can't get away from it.
Howard the Duck is now canon Marvel MCU. Oh boy.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. Canon.
Uh-huh.
It's canon.
That's fine. No, they kind of made that canon anyway because they added him in the new Spider-Man movies, but it's still. Now I'm really curious what their justification is going to be for the Hulk movies because, like, they are.
Oh, true.
They are. Yeah. I don't know if you watched the two of them, like, right back, you know, next to each other. They are.
It's been a while.
Worlds different. Like, they're ridiculously different. Because the first one was really trying to, like, really try to feel like a comic book. The second one was more just trying to do the movie thing.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that, like, every time they try to do the comic book thing, doesn't seem to work out so well for them. Because the Punisher Warzone, that one killed me. That killed me because, like...
That's your boy.
Oh,
that's your boy.
Well, the thing is, the guy playing the Punisher was playing him pretty well. And the other guys were acting right, but their costuming was bad. And some of the lines were atrocious.
Yeah.
And some of the actors just, like, they were acting their hearts out, but they weren't right for that movie. They just weren't right for that movie.
Yeah. What can you do sometimes?
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that are having a hard time, The Daredevil show, Daredevil Reborn.
Yeah.
So it lost all its writer. It lost its writing staff. It lost its like directors. Mm-hmm. Marvel has rehired people apparently.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So the guy, my friend Steve from Top Five, was talking to me this week, and we were chatting about it, and he was pretty sure it was dead. But if they're hiring a whole new creative staff,
yeah, they're yeah. It's,
I think they're not going to let it.
It's born again, again.
I think they aren't. They aren't going to let it. Apparently, they're not going to let it die.
Nope.
But whatever was there, like, how bad do you think a show needs to be to like get somebody to quit halfway through making it, where they're just like, no, no more of this.
That's yeah. That's like M. Night Shyamalan, Last Airbender.
That's pretty bad.
Levels of yikes.
That's got to be some yikes right there. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine.
I'm very nervous. I think when that comes out, I might just have to rewatch the Netflix Daredevil and just pretend that that's the Daredevil.
I mean, we'll see.
I really liked the Netflix shows.
I did too. So, I mean, I guess if they're getting new writers, they do care about it. So it isn't so. Yeah. On one half, I'm sad that it's not coming out. But on the other side, I'm like, maybe it's best that didn't come out if they were like, hey, this isn't going to work. Like if the people working on it was like, we're like, you know, this isn't going to work. We need to stop this right now. That's probably a good indication that it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And all the, you know, all the negotiations and SAG stuff probably didn't help either.
No.
But. Man, if you go to your boss and you protest and you're like, hey, we need more money or else we're all going to leave. And he says, okay, maybe you weren't doing such a great job.
Yeah.
Like if he calls your bluff on that.
Yeah.
It must not be much bluff to call there.
Well, yeah, I mean, like there's like one thing if they like let them go on strike and you know, like, oh, they'll be back. But it's another entirely if they're like, yeah, you know what? You're fired.
Yeah, you're right. We're cutting you all.
Like, don't bother coming back.
Don't bother coming back. Also, we're getting rid of the creative team, the entire creative team.
Yeah. Versus like, you know, you can come back when you decide to make what we want to pay you.
Yeah.
That's two very different things.
Like I said, I'm not sure if I hold out a super amount of hope.
You gotta find it real funny that like they, you know, they've been saying like, oh, we can't afford to you know meet these striking demands, and then they turn around and now they're like fully buying Hulu.
Yeah.
So apparently they had money.
Yeah.
They got money to do stuff.
Well, I mean they at least had a pretty good like. If they didn't own parts of Hulu, they owned something or they had some kind of insane agreement.
Yeah.
Cause they do bundle their stuff together.
And they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, now they are like taking full ownership.
Full ownership. Yeah.
Which, so yeah, Hulu's definitely going up. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news on that one. If you have Hulu.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I've been hurt before.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, I'm gonna be dropping my Netflix.
Yeah,
and we just recently dropped our Crunchyroll because I'm just so tired of it not working half the time.
Oh yeah, the Crunchyroll one's kind of disappointing because like
seriously,
well because they still like okay, so when they did the Funimation one, here's why I'm annoyed with it. Funimation had an app on my TV. Crunchyroll doesn't.
Yeah.
So if I want to watch Crunchyroll on my TV, I have to start
You have to cast it.
I have to start it on my phone and cast it. That's the only way to get it.
That's how we've been doing it too.
I'd heard some rumors that Crunchyroll was going to be adding a channel onto Amazon Prime Video, which I suppose it would help.
Yes,
would
help. I've heard that as well.
That would help. Yeah. Hopefully that you, if you have a subscription already, you can just jump on there.
Yeah, hopefully.
But now I'm more and more realizing that some of the stuff that I was watching already on Hulu. So I'm not sure if I'm considering dropping it. I'm not sure about that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely dropping our Netflix when they hike the price up again.
Again.
I know. That's, oh, dude.
Apparently the...
Insane.
Well, apparently that bottom tier with all the ads has been, like, shooting up a bunch. So apparently there's like one of the highest reviewerships or higher, the highest, newest new customers has been because of that. So apparently the password sharing thing, here to stay. They're not changing it. And that's fine. I guess I'm going to have to stick to my guns, call their bluff. I'm like, okay, they're calling my bluff. They're calling my bluff, basically. And okay, I guess I'll stick with it.
Yep. So, I guess if we're just going to have to be like our friends, the Straw Hats, and sail the seven seas.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
yeah.
To be fair, like a lot of the stuff on Netflix is like,
yo-ho.
A lot of the stuff they're losing was the stuff that I was like really looking forward to. I'm only sad I'm going to miss some of their kind of interesting anime stuff that they release every once in a while out of the blue.
Yeah.
Because like some of those were ended up being really good.
Yeah, for real.
Could have missed the next season of Knights of Sidonia. Oh, no.
Ah, man.
That actually got really, was
that any
rough
good?
Start. It was a rough start, but after it gets going, it was really good.
Nice.
After it goes going is good, but you know, that one takes a while. Some of the other stuff, some of their other ones did the same. The 3D animation style, the 3D anime is kind of tough at first.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are pretty hit and miss. Like they're either like really well done or really not. So
well this was, done. Well, this was kind of a rough start, but I think it's just cause the animation was, it's a little jarring. It's new. It's different. Yeah. But once the premise of that show had a lot of inside a space station kind of thing. When it was inside the space station, it kind of seemed weird. When they got out into actual space, it looked beautiful.
Oh, okay.
So that was a mech. It's a mech show. It's a mech show. So nice. When they get out to space, though, it's beautiful. So that's pretty cool.
Good.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's move right along.
Yeah. We digress.
We're digressing. Although, we're just digressing so hard.
That's what we do.
All the digression. we got a trailer for Echo that came out.
Yes. Yeah, I have to confess, I have never heard of Echo. Is that a comic?
That's a character, but it's kind of a lower tier character.
Yeah.
She showed up during the Hawkeye series.
Oh, okay.
But apparently she's.
That's why I have no idea who the heck she is. I didn't.
That's fine. That's fine. No, it's a character that, is deaf and has sound based powers.
Okay, Echo makes sense.
Yeah, so she's really like, in the show they showed her as like a really good hand to hand fighter. She's kind of a little bit of a criminal, but she's also
Like, wants to be better.
Yeah, that kind of thing. She is heavily involved with Kingpin, and he was seen. They showed him in the trailer for this.
Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio's back as the Kingpin.
All right.
So I think that the Kingpin is going to be the big villain for this.
Cool.
Which is super cool.
I might actually watch it just for that. I really like Vincent D'Onofrio, Kingpin.
I do too.
He's such a good fit for the character.
It's kind of funny because like I watched him a couple of times. I've seen him a couple interviews with him, and he had the one interview at like 2 years ago at Salt Lake Comic Con. And it's kind of funny because you see you never consider sometimes that like one person's a, you know, pretty good actor, and this man is like academically an actor, like into the craft of acting.
Yes.
To an insane degree. So he's like, well, I bring this to the character. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, you do take this seriously.
He really does. He really, really does.
Don't know what he thinks is going to happen here.
Is that Jake?
Yeah. Let's see if okay. Jake, you're on the podcast. What's up? Can you hear me? Oh, hold on. We're on Bluetooth. Yeah. Can you hear me, Jake? Jake, can you hear me now? Oh my gosh. Well, that's
Silent Jake.
Silent Jake. I wonder if it was a bug call. Might have been because it's to the group. Oh, There we go. Anyway, all right. So yeah, Marvel. So Marvel's Echo. It's looking interesting. They actually are going to have, speaking of, we kind of talked about the Marvels a little bit earlier. They are going to have an interesting release day coming up next month. Coming up pretty quick, actually. Oh, not next month, right? This is November. What month is it?
November. Yeah.
So the yeah, same day.
Next weekend, right?
Yeah. The same day that the Marvels comes out. Don't know what you want.
Is Jake calling again?
Yeah, he's trying to.
Jake.
Yeah, I can't hear you either.
What are you doing, buddy?
One second. No, I'm up on here. I should be able to hear you. Stop calling me.
He's like a stalker.
Yeah. I know he's trying to get on, but I don't know I don't know how he thinks that's going to work here. Let's try it. Let's see. Let's see if I initiate a call if it'll work. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's on the phone. It's not coming through the Bluetooth.
Oh, I can't. One second, man. Where are we at in the episode? We're recording it right now. In fact, this is part of the episode, apparently. Nice. I can't get you on the phone through Messenger here.
That's fine.
Well, no. All right. Sorry about that, folks. Slight technical difficulties. Adding Lord Face Tat now?
No, I'm just bad mouth.
Just bad mouth now?
Just bad mouth. I am a lord, though. My goal is to deunify the United Kingdom, but...
Oh, okay. Know. I mean, you know...
That's a different topic for a different day.
I guess we all got to have goals.
Yeah, yeah, you know. What's life without goals?
Sorry, I just...
No life at all.
No life at all, unfortunately. I guess.
Life is like going through the back door, you know? You got to try them all.
Jake, no está correcto.
Not even a minute in, we're already starting on that. Yep. Here we go.
There we go. I got the Jake soundboard up right now.
Yep.
The Jake is wrong soundboard.
That's good.
Can you hear that on your end, Jake? I never know.
Yeah, I can. Yes.
Oh, good to know. I'm glad you know that I'm hitting buttons and mocking you with them.
Yes, mock him.
It is nice.
Speaking of mocking and fun, the Red Dead thing. I wanted to talk about it because, Jake, yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but they pretty seamlessly put some Toy Story parts for Woody in with lines. And it's a little hilarious because he's the shape he is and everybody else is fairly realistic, you know, realistic people. But also... they got a lot of the lines to line up pretty well with parts of the game.
Yeah, that sounds so great, honestly. So I'm not a big fan of mods.
Oh, this isn't a mod. No, this is just the video.
Yeah, it just editing clips of Toy Story into Red Dead.
Oh,
yeah.
So I know people have done that with a mod, but I heard about anyways. Mods. Yeah, the point I'm saying is like, but with Red Dead and GTA 5, I feel like those are the kind of games where like you're supposed to kind of be a little silly and ridiculous. And so like,
oh yeah,
I kind of am more open with mods to that game, those games, because it's just like, why not be Shrek and just drive by with an Uzi and take out a bunch of rival gang members?
Exactly. That's what it was made for.
They are being they're doing pretty some fun stuff with it, though, for sure, because I know that there's some mods they're adding to that game that are like they added new areas with some of the mods. There was a mod that a big fan mod that got released and everybody's really going crazy over it because it apparently adds like 80 new missions.
And oh, wow.
Two new areas and 80 new missions to the game. Apparently the Red Dead Online community is alive and well. I had no idea.
You know, it's one of those games where it's just like because Red Dead Online, you know, it's a good casual play game for like friends, you know, especially like if you guys don't live in the same area. I think what Red Dead 2 is what Fallout 76 inspired to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit, yes.
Because it's just one of those games that you could just like get on, play cowboy, roll around with some horses, and just do some crazy shenanigans.
Well, and if you join
the Wild West,
if you join the right person, like, so if we're playing together and you join me, I have a moonshining shack. The rest of those guys don't have that, but I got a moonshining shack, but we can do moonshining missions.
Nice.
Because like we're going from like regular crime to other crimes now. Interstate
specialized crimes.
Specialized interstate, you know, interstate crimes. Well, it's funny because like, I don't know, they're doing like a kind of weird thing because they gotta kind of mix some stuff together. But like, running moonshine's illegal, but also you can just walk into the bars and get whiskey. So
yeah, that's not really a lot of sense.
It's not really prohibition. It's more like your booze is just a little bit better and therefore illegal, I guess.
Their business is taxable by the government.
Well, it's crony capitalism, right?
I guess.
Yep, exactly.
The cronies are taking over the capitalistic empire that is the Wild West, you know?
I suppose it's
a fantastic game.
Corporations were corporationing before they were even corporations.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's why they had the capital.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you haven't checked that out, it's hilarious. It's a little like, the video, it's probably 3 minutes long, maybe just a bunch of different clips from the story and some perfect reactions, in my opinion. Nice. Let's jump over there. Sure. So let's jump into the DC. I only could find one good DC story. Unfortunately, I really did look. Apparently
you looked more than I did.
According to HBO and Max's CEO, HBO and Max is so weird.
Yeah, HBO, it's just Max now.
According to the Max CEO,
Zaslav or whatever.
Yeah, apparently it's supposed to basically like help break superhero fatigue because it's a show about criminals.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like I said, I don't know. If you have superhero fatigue, I don't think the Batman show is going to help you, no matter if it's got very much Batman or just a little bit of Batman. I mean, because the amount of powers is not doesn't make a superhero show necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, it's other things.
I mean, I'm definitely down for some more Penguin, though. What is that actor's name? I keep forgetting.
Oh my gosh. Colin Farrell?
Thank you. Yeah. He was really good. I really liked him as the Penguin.
That's what this is supposed to be. So, I mean, if it's good, I hope it is.
Yeah.
I hope it's Sopranos meets Batman.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping too.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Here's the thing with superhero fatigue, right? I think there's too many expectations, and that's why we're getting the fatigue, right? I think it's everyone keeps going back to what Marvel was doing before Endgame, and everyone's just tired of DC not knowing what they're doing. And so because of like people wanting to go back to what Marvel was doing and, you know, DC not doing what they're doing, and then comic book fans having like, you know, too high of expectations. I think what it is, it's just everyone's has expectations for the wrong thing rather than just enjoying the content, and they're burning themselves out versus it being like fatigued over superheroes, right?
Right.
Here's the thing. I'm enjoying the stuff Marvel's putting out in the shows and stuff like that. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm trying not to be like, oh, well, the comics didn't do this, the comics didn't do that, or
right.
I missed this in Endgame. I'm excited that we have this huge universe full of all sorts of crazy villains and heroes or whatever. And I think it's more like the comics now than it ever was. And so the whole thing of just all this content is available. What I think is burning me out is just the lack of organization of its release, I guess, for all of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think
you're right. It's definitely getting more like the comic book landscape where there's just all of this different stuff all over the place, and it's hard to keep track of what's what. It's hard to know where to jump in for newcomers, and you know, there's definitely a little bit of something for whatever you're looking for out there somewhere. You just have to know where to look.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree, but the Colin Farrell Penguin looks fantastic. I'm excited for it. Really enjoyed his portrayal of the Penguin. You know, and like it's crazy, right? Because like Colin Farrell's a pretty decent, well fit, buff, you know, good looking dude, and the amount of prosthetics and just like how he completely changed his demeanor was so good. Like, yeah, the guy really deserved an award for that.
It's surprising he didn't, because, like, when people said it was Colin Farrell, you're like, what? Who was it?
Oh, yeah. Bullseye from the Daredevil movie?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the days.
Because, like, DC has just such a negative connotation when it comes to film, that people really just don't give them a chance anymore unless it's their animated stuff.
Or Batman.
I really think people just write it off. You know,
seems to be
to them. Yeah. It's nothing's ever gonna meet the.
Which is the really too bad. I don't know if you guys, either of you, saw the Blue Beetle movie.
Unfortunately, I haven't.
No,
it actually really good.
I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
I heard it was pretty good, and it deserved a better box office than it got,
It really did, yeah.
I'm going to check it out eventually.
Hopefully it has a good run on Max.
I think it will,
yeah.
Depending. I don't know. The streaming services are also, like, shooting themselves in the foot.
That's true.
A little bit, yeah, because, like, now, you know, if you miss a movie premiere, if you miss the first 2 weeks, might as well just wait to watch it at home.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it'll be cheaper.
Yeah, it really is dumb to put all these resources into a movie release and then just throw it up on the streaming service.
Month later. I'm sure it helps the streaming service, but yeah, if you do it, it's seeming like it's almost too soon. Because it kind of makes it not special to go to the theater anymore for certain movies.
Yep.
Yeah, I think also what really didn't help was the, Screen Actors Guild and then the Writers Guild going on strike.
Yeah, the upcoming strikes.
Who knows? Maybe this break is the exact palate cleanser we need to be excited about shows and content again.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it.
That's fair.
Hopefully it doesn't have a COVID effect where it just like diminishes it and waters it down. Because, you know, we waited so long to do things that now it's like we just don't care. But who knows? We'll get back into it. Hopefully it'll all be good again.
Are we planning to see Aquaman?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know on that one either.
It might be a little tough for me. Like, okay, so
I like the first one, but
yeah, and it's gonna be tough for me in the same way that The Flash is tough for me, because I know that Amber Heard isn't the only person that worked on Aquaman, but it's really hard when it's like a chief character to ignore that character.
Yeah.
The Flash, in my opinion, that was like the one where I was like, I don't like the main person. So it's going to be really tough. I don't know what I'm going to be watching here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with this one, at least, like, it's a side person, you know, it's a side character, not the main character, but it still might be a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah, not as rough as The Flash. Although, like, that too, Jake and I saw that one, and that one was actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
True, true.
Like, it definitely had its weak moments as well, but
when everything is low, that means that, you know, there you only gotta, can make gotta progress. Bounce
back up. Yep, exactly.
That's very true. All right. So last bit of news. So I didn't see it, but I've seen some of the visuals for it. I never played it. For Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Yep. I think you're saying better than
the,
I am.
The samurai game.
Yeah.
Yeah, samurai.
Apparently, yeah. The same guy that directed John Wick is right now in like.
Oh no shit!
They're starting basic pre-production for a Ghost of Tsushima. Oh yeah,
Chad Stahelski. Yep. Wow.
Yeah, but cool. I mean,
oh man, if, samurai John Wick.
Basically, yeah,
bro.
The guy I'm that ready. Made John Wick is like John Wick with samurai.
Yes,
basically.
Please.
Like honestly.
Ooh.
I don't think they're going to get Keanu Reeves, but they might. I mean, to be fair, he'll do anything that's cool.
Yeah, true.
He'll do anything as long as it's cool at this point.
Pretty much. Oh, I still need to go back and play Cyberpunk again now that they've updated everything.
Yeah.
Except Baldur's Gate is so freaking fun.
Well,
I hate you guys for getting me addicted.
I know.
Damn you.
We'll get to that, Kyle. Hold your horses.
If it makes you feel any better, at the same time I bought Baldur's Gate, Cyberpunk was on sale for the full package.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. So
nice.
I think I picked it up for like $40.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the full game and the DLC?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, because after they did the 2.0 thing, there was a price drop, and then there was a sale.
Oh, wow. So you got a steal. Nice.
I did get it at a, like, what I feel is going to be a little bit like, yeah. Because I've seen the game like a little bit. I've seen different, you know, stuff for the game, and man, it looks good right now.
Yeah, it's a great game now that they finished it finally.
I hear there's still like some bugs, but more like the normal amount that you'd see in a game like that.
Yeah, there's still the odd bug here and there, but
instead of all the bugs,
not nearly as bad. Yeah, it was like when it first came out, like the bugs were the game. Like you weren't playing it to play a cool badass cyberpunk game. You're playing it to just see how wackily you could just break the physics and make cars and people go flying in T-pose and
that's wild.
Glitch through things in hilarious fashions. Yeah,
that's wild. Well, I kind of like the I kind of like the whole like cyberpunk aesthetic.
Yeah,
I love it. Like I really like. I feel like I'm going to have a lot of fun with that game once I get into it.
Yeah, it is really fun.
But,
and the city is really cool. It's a very pretty looking game.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I've seen a couple of clips. I saw the guy. There's like this hobo in the game that's screaming at one point. And the guy that does the voice for that is actually a streamer.
Oh, interesting.
So he played the game and like he always goes and kills himself. He kills his character in the game like just because he can.
Why not, right?
Just for fun, basically. Yeah. Apparently, he does it like every time. Like he's done multiple playthroughs for different like classes and types, and but he'll always go loop around and kill his character real fast. Just pretty nice. Great. Pretty great, in my opinion.
Epic.
Pretty great, in my opinion. Okay, so that's all the major news stories that I could find. So I think right here. We're going to take our break real fast. I'm going to play and we're going to have some ads. So here are some ads. Jake, it's going to be really quiet for you here for a second.
Hey, guys. So apparently I'm supposed to be smooth, but you know what I'm not as smooth as? I'm not as smooth as Best Slope Coffee, the Best Slope Coffee of all the Rockies. You don't believe me? They have freaking awards. And you know what? You should reward yourself with a nice cup of Joe. You can go down to Best Slope Coffee Co. in Fruita, Colorado. Oh, wait. You don't live here? That's because you're dumb. But you know what is not dumb? Go into Best Slope Coffee Co. where you can order a brand new subscription with varieties. And those varieties are
bi-weekly, monthly, or a three-month barista choice box. They'll be sent directly to your home whenever you want.
Don't be a dummy. Get Best Slope Coffee today.
I'm Tommy Green, the executive director of Run Against Traffic. We exist to give everyday people like you the tools necessary to fight against human trafficking and raise awareness and funds for the long-term aftercare of its victims. Become someone's superhero today at irunagainsttraffic.com.
Okay, now. All right, we are back for our main topic.
Yes, our main topic what's an appropriate backdoor and what's not. This will be led by Kyle, seeing as he's the master of the doors in the back. No, but anyways, so we were talking
about... Thanks for that, Jake.
You're welcome. Actually, thank Matt. He's the one who made it happen.
You have a point.
I suppose.
Anyways, so yeah, we're doing a playthrough for Baldur's Gate. It's going to be a thing we're doing. We're going to review the game and talk about it and stuff like that. And so I thought it'd be fun for us to kind of talk about our expectations, the things that we're liking so far for those of us that have played it. Kind of just been like, what are we excited for when it comes to diving in even deeper into this world of D&D and stuff and things.
Yep, it's our back door into the wide world of D&D,
right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. R.I.P. Bird, Bird in the Closet.
Oh, you're talking about my character that I made on your game earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that there were some other races that you could make, which is unfortunate. Because I want to make a Kenku that just, like, can't talk. So I want it to be, like, this super dramatic character, and it just, like, nothing ever gets said back.
That's funny.
Yeah. I think that'd be really, really fun.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm super excited, honestly. For it. So I've already played quite a bit of it, and honestly I keep finding more and more stuff, and I'm just scratching the surface of it. So I'm gonna keep mine short and brief because I really want to hear your guys's. I said this before, but this game has been so I love Red Dead, right? I love Red Dead only because I get to hang out with my friends and do cowboy stuff. Right? That's why I love Red Dead. It's a good like, hey, we have like an hour, let's hang out, you know, without us having to drive anywhere to hang out.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I don't really play Red Dead solo too often. But Baldur's Gate, man, I haven't played a game like this or really felt like this way about a game since Knights of the Old Republic when it originally came out.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison to say.
Well, that's fair because the developer that made Knights of the Old Republic also made Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
Yeah, no.
It
was BioWare, so.
It's a fantastic game. I'm loving every second of it, you know, and when we tried the multiplayer portion earlier today, and when you know, I played with Kyle, it was really, really fun. But so my expectations for this is, you know, I'm really excited to see how the story develops with all of us having our input. I'm excited to see how each of our personalities and like the way we made the characters affects the story, and I'm really excited to see how we're gonna. And you know what? That's just D&D, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my first playthrough is pretty serious, and even some of the stuff without me even like, just I run into, I'm just like, what? Why am I talking to this kobold with a circus hat? And how did I get here? I mean, Kyle. You heard it earlier, right? Like, I was just a barbarian at the bar, and I was getting belligerent, trying to tell stories, you know?
Yep, drinking the bartender under the table.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that was a fun scene.
Yeah, it was. But so I'm just super excited. I'm really excited to do this and to really play with our characters and to play with to play with Kyle and Matt.
Yeah, apparently not Steve.
Wow, rude.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Steve?
Who introduced you guys to D&D?
Not you.
Matt?
We played Myths.
Yeah, but.
So it was. All of you guys introduced me a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I was a closet nerd, so.
Right.
Anyways, but yeah.
You were in the closet.
I'd love to hear. I'm what glad
you were able
to
come
say.
Out of the closet.
I know, poor bird. Only if he could.
Yeah. Maybe never again.
I hope he does one day.
Yeah, probably one day. But probably one day.
Yeah, what are your guys' expectations like? I really want to hear what you guys think.
Okay.
Especially Kyle and Matt.
Well, Steve, go first then.
No, go for it.
No.
My question.
Steve's a drow. We don't care about him.
My question more is, how much do we anticipate purposely killing each other's characters before a save? So not after a save. After a save, it's open season.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure.
Hopefully none. Hopefully the murdering happens none. After this.
It already happened.
Yep. Yep.
The first one already happened today.
Yep.
I was watching.
So wait, are you talking about when Jake killed us, or when he spilled the acid everywhere and then slipped and fell in it 50
true.
Times?
He killed himself so hard that he broke the game.
Right. Yeah. He killed himself on accident. That's right.
Multiple times.
And then
we
stuck.
Almost couldn't get through the freaking tutorial. Because Jake's shenanigans.
Probably didn't help that we were breaking pretty much everything we saw. Which,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I feel like if you're playing D&D and you're like, ooh, mysterious liquid, let's bust it open. To be fair, I did it the first time I played through, though. I did break one of those things and got acid all over my character. And I was like, I deserve this.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's going to.
It wasn't the fun kind of acid, too, that makes you see colors. It just makes you. Throw up colors.
No.
Well, it makes you see red.
Yeah. Well, it made you see colors. There's and that, if, like, purple and red. For
if
the...
it goes on for too long, you see a lot of black.
Or gray. You know.
Yeah.
Black and gray character. Yeah, yeah. Because your character's all whited up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
black and white.
I'm looking forward to a lot of fun stuff because, like, I have heard, like, enough minor details that aren't really spoilers, but they're kind of spoilers. But, like, I know some stuff that's coming up in this game, and I'm seeing where they're going already at, like, the lower levels. So I can only anticipate this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I am expecting, like, especially from a lore standpoint, to be really wowed. Like, I've been, you know, playing my own character, gotten into the game a little ways, and I'm really just charmed by, like, all of these random and quirky characters that you run into all over the place, and learning all their stories, and, you know, about all these gods and devils and wars that are going on and all over.
Just
and,
constantly, yeah.
Yeah, it's overwhelming, but, like, in a good way.
Well, they make it a pretty hyper-evolved world. They've made it a pretty hyper-evolved kind of thing. Like, even before the Baldur's Gate games, they were going pretty well. Because, like, so these things are, like, these, you know, this world is the same one that all the, like, modules are written in. Or not all, but a majority.
A lot of them are.
A majority of the modules are in this world. So... like, Baldur's Gate is a D&D thing you can have in your games, and you can totally go there at any time.
I feel like a severely ADHD kid in the middle of, like, a pyrotechnics and laser exhibition show. There's, like, all this cool stuff going on all around me. I'm like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
It kind of
sucks that you can't go to Winterfell and then, like, go visit Wisconsin, but, you know, one day.
Did he say Wisconsin?
Yeah.
The state? What?
You made that joke yesterday.
Wait, isn't Winterfell Skyrim?
Yeah.
Isn't that Elder Scrolls?
Yes. I know what Jake meant, but he said Winterfell.
I'm enough of a nerd that I
Jake,
what
he
was doing.
Isn't it Winterhold?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You
sorry,
were right.
I've been obsessed
no,
with
wait,
Skyrim
winter, no,
for a while
Winterfell's
now.
Game of Thrones.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. There's too many winter places.
Yes.
But I'm, man, I'm going to be excited to just see encounters. I want to see, like, I want to see what kind of random encounters they have, because,
yeah,
man, I'm curious about that.
Aww. Our website, everybody.
Oh.
Kyle, you mentioned earlier that, like, you're addicted. Go, like, dive in deeper to that. Like, let us, like, since us, like, peer pressuring you into getting the game to, like, what you've figured out now, kind of go over, like, your whole experience so far. Give us a light little taste of just, like, everything, and then what your expectations are moving forward with that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess definitely one of the main things that's hooking me in is, like, a lot of the you know, the side characters, you know, especially the ones that are, you know, kind of part of your main party. I know that's not going to be something that we're going to be too involved with in our playthrough, probably, because our party's going to be full all the time. But, you know, I really like Asterion. He's very charming and mischievous. And Shadowheart seems really interesting. She seems like she's got a lot of secrets that she's hiding. And
then who's your wife?
Oh, Karlak. I like Karlak a lot. She's cool. Big fan. Anyways. But yeah, and yeah, like, Gale's whole, like, obsession with magical objects, and it seems like he's got, like, some kind of crazy curse on him, so that'll be cool to figure that out. And oh yeah, and then, yeah, Will seems like he made a deal with a very powerful and not good person, and kind of facing some consequences of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely like a lot of really cool characters. And
I would like to point out that Mizora may or may not be my waifu in this, so just watch your tone.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, and then I've explored like a few underground like caverns and crypts and stuff, and yeah, that's been really cool. I save every time I enter a room, because there was one time when I can't remember who it was in my party, but they ran right into a trap and just flaming arrows across the entire freaking room. I was like, oh, well, that can happen. Cool. Just gotta freaking tiptoe every time I enter a new room.
I think
welcome to
D&D.
Well, D&D, not just D&D, just video game RPGs in general.
Yeah,
true. Save. Often,
yeah,
and multiple saves.
Yeah, I am quick saving like a demon.
Yeah, not just quick saving. You need like.
Oh yeah, I manual save too.
Yeah,
hard saves at every.
Yeah, I usually
hard
usually
saves quick save hard all saves. The time.
Quite often.
Don't rely on quick saves, because you can only have up to 5 of them before it starts overriding them completely.
Oh, you can change that in the options.
No, that's the maximum you can have.
For quick saves.
Not for regular saves. So I'm saying don't rely on quick saves, because you can only have so many before they start overriding old ones.
I still do quick saves right before I do something where I'm like, this is either going to work out really well in my favor, or I'm going to blow up.
Save.
Yeah.
Or I'm going into a new area. Save before I do, in case the game crashes and I lose everything.
Oh, no. See, I do
and then save as soon as it loads into the new area.
Well, no. See, I do a quick save before that, because I'm like, because I'm probably going to do a quick load if I blow up.
Or I'm going to talk to this sketchy looking NPC. Save.
Save.
I'm done talking to the sketchy NPC. Save.
Save again. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, like one of my very first saves came in super handy, because in the opening of the game, the game just decided that I couldn't save Shadowheart. Like I critical failed 2 times in a row and couldn't open the freaking pod. Yeah, I rolled a 1 2
Which
times.
Hold on, wait. Isn't that like
that is my roll?
Isn't luck. Just like isn't that like a like you have to roll like above a 2?
No, the first check is like a 10.
It's like a 10, yeah. It's not super hard.
To interface with the system is like the check is like a 10. Which,
10 intelligence.
Yeah, that's not crazy.
Yeah, and I got a 1 twice in a row.
Once you're interfaced, it's like I think the check is a 2 to open it.
Yep, yeah. And there weren't any other ways to open it because I couldn't force it open because I didn't have any.
You rolled a one on the.
What
on
were
the
you? Skill check of what were you playing in that first playthrough? Like, was your guy just like
really, really dumb?
My character's a rogue.
Were you playing an actual rock?
I must have been, yeah. But then I resaved. I rolled a 15 and it was fine. Or I reloaded my save rather.
Yeah.
I do that too. Unfortunately, my last game got corrupted, the one that you were trying to join the first time. So unfortunately, I have to start again.
Oh no!
The Curse of Boulders.
It got corrupted since I was trying to join.
No! Not that game. A different.
Oh, okay.
And that's the other reason why you save and save over and over again, like multiple files.
You never know.
So because what happened when I updated it, it deleted some of the files.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Anyway, there's this meme going around where it's just like people who play Baldur's Gate, they're like, I'll make it to Act 3, and it's got the one guy, I'm like, you sure about that? Because it's just like, you know, I've escaped the ship at least 15 times now, and I'm like, I've gotten to Act 3 once, and now I'm not.
I mean,
have any of you guys beaten the game yet?
No.
I haven't had time to play it since the full release.
Here's what happens to me a lot is I'll start playing it and I'll get into a fight and do some other stuff. I'll be like, oh, it's been 2 hours. Like, easy.
I've played through the Nautiloid 23 times now.
Have you really?
Including today.
Oh my gosh.
I've only done three.
But
so
not since the full release, since the initial like
alpha.
Yeah, early release.
Nice. Like
2 years ago, whatever it was.
I think a lot of people like to set up like certain character builds, play them through, see if they like it, and then if they're like, eh, you know.
Yeah, I could see
then
that.
Then
I was having a lot of fun with the spells so far, so I'm doing a wizard, and I'm going to be, I think, like, I'm having some fun with that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little rough.
How are you going to play your wizard? Like, I want to know, like, what's the personality that you're going for?
Destructive maniac.
Yes. The best kind.
Oh, no.
You're an elf?
Yeah.
You're high elf or what?
Wood elf.
Wood elf? Nice.
What elf? So I can get it. What elf was for some of the buffs that you get? Because I feel like I'm going to get hit a lot in this first. I got to be careful in this first, probably at least the first couple levels here.
Yeah.
I'm
going to need to be careful. I tell you what, the wizard in my party, like the enemies always run past everybody else no matter where I position.
Oh, they attack. Him. Yeah, they attack.
And they gang up on him every time.
I
can kill Gale them before they get too close, but not always.
What I did with Gale is I made him efficient with like pole arm master and then like heavy armor.
Okay.
And basically just like all his magical items just add plus whatever to his AC.
Just add AC.
And to his attack. So that way he's just like, he's like, hey, it's going to be hard to hit me, but if you do, I'm going to destroy you. Like, I made a warlord with Gale.
That's funny.
You know.
I've
also like set off the suicide. Oh, no, wait. We haven't gotten that far. I don't want to tell you guys, but Gale gets something, and I've done some stuff several times just for the sake of destruction.
I have Gale right now as a divination wizard, and ooh, with that you get two basic, like, so in D&D you roll two every day, you roll two dice, and like you can replace any dice roll with that. In this, it'll ask you for a reaction, so it'll be like, your friend needed a 17 to hit, but they only rolled a 15. Do you want to replace it with one of your dice? Or the bad guy rolled a critical hit and is going to hit your player. Do you want him to roll a 2 instead?
Oh, there you go.
It only works once per long rest, or twice per long rest, but man, it's really strong.
It's yeah.
So I haven't really noticed any like downsides to long resting.
Other than
the supplies.
Supplies mostly. Supplies and time.
But like I found so many supplies out in the open world though, like they are everywhere.
That's true. Well, yeah, and that, well, the supplies thing kind of made it feel like the supplies were going to be kind of scarce. And so I was a little hesitant at first.
Yeah, I was worried at first. But yeah, I've got like 15 supply packs that are I can just automatically throw in to get a guaranteed full rest.
Awesome.
I'll tell you this, Kyle. The part where that you were playing with me, that we just entered, it's bone dry. You are like, there's nothing there. Like, yeah, it's whatever supplies you go in with is what you got. It looks
pretty scarce from what I saw.
It's tough, man. It is tough. It's fun, but it's tough.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's another reason why I like my warlock, because I can just do short rests and I get my spells back.
That's fair.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. We could have done double dragon, but no, Steve wanted to be normal.
No, I said I've been looking forward to the character that Kyle designed, but I said whatever.
No, you bully yeah. Kyle. You said Kyle. So if you play something else other than the ogre, I'm gonna punch you in the throat and then I'm gonna pee on you.
Yeah, that sounds just like him. That sounds just like him.
So okay, I do have a question that we need to address probably now that we're all talking right now. How are we gonna deal with actual character deaths? Like you died. Legit. Are we going to replace characters?
Yeah, reroll character, I guess.
Or are we going to try to revive him?
make a new character.
If we have the ability to revive, let's revive. But if not, then we'll just make a new character.
Or we could always have someone just take command of one of the existing NPCs. I wouldn't mind playing Asterion.
No.
Or Karlach.
We should, like Jake said, if we have the ability to revive, depending on how stupid it is. If it's something like what happened to Jake today, I think we reload a past save and try again.
Yeah, that's fair.
If it's a legit, you know, good death or whatever, we can't make it a penalty.
I don't know. I kind of personally like the idea of treating character deaths in the game like character deaths in D&D, where it's like, if we don't have the ability to bring them back to life, let's not. Like, if we don't have the ability to revive, then let's not do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's the nice thing with Withers instance, is, like, we could pay.
Yeah. With the instance of your character today, that was a glitch in the game, so that wasn't a legit.
Oh, yeah, if it's a glitch, sure.
A glitch is just something happens stupid that shouldn't have happened.
That's listen, why I'm sometimes,
we could have a penalty where we get to build your next character for you if you die in a stupid fashion.
So here's the thing. If Kyle goes up to fight a squirrel and he rolls bad and that squirrel kills him, I say we just roll with it.
Yes. No, I agree.
Is it a boy girl? Is it a boy squirrel or a squirrel girl?
I'm pretty sure it's a girl squirrel.
Squirrel girl. Like barring you know, glitches in the game or a lag issue or something like that that happens that you have no control over, and boom, your character's dead, or you can't move your character, so he keeps losing health and dying because of just problems. Then but if it's a legit death, you know, you're going up against something, you roll poorly, you die, nobody in the party can revive you. Then roll a new character quick.
Technical difficulties, we mulligan it.
Yep.
If we have character,
if it's iffy, we can take a vote between the four of us.
Yeah, I think.
If you die gloriously or ingloriously in battle, you go to Valhalla or not, and we reroll a new character for you.
No.
Another rule. If you die, you have to come back.
You should be able to pick the person who died's character. That'd be fun.
No. You have to come back as a dragonborn.
I think
you have to come back as a dragonborn if your name is Kyle and you die.
I think you're going to be a gnome barbarian.
Oh, gosh. That's the worst.
No. What does Jake hate? Oh, what class do you hate, Jake?
Gnomes.
No, I know. That's a race. What class?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't really want to play a gnome barbarian.
I really don't like bards because I feel like they're just kind of useless.
Gnome bard. Sounds good.
Except for, like, I love Scanlan, so that's how I would play him.
Okay, so we make the most ugliest sin bard with a super low charisma score.
That'd actually be short, really fun to play.
Short as heck. Make him a dwarf or a gnome or a halfling.
Halflings and gnomes are about the same height.
No, I feel like gnomes are good, you know.
Yeah, no, gnome anything.
Because Jake's known for gnomes. He loves gnomes.
Yeah, that's his favorite.
I could be one of those dark gnomes that are inherently racist.
Do they have, is the Eric, like, have you ever heard any, like, anything back that Eric Okra is, like, available soon? That'd be great. That'd be perfect for him.
Jonathan!
Yes. Yes, indeed.
If Jonathan ever plays us, that's all he's allowed to play.
Is a bird, yes.
Yeah. Named Jonathan.
Jonathan!
He's an Aarakocan cleric, Jonathan.
Okay.
If that's not a...
Anyways.
If there's not a stat block, I'd be surprised. Anyway, what were you saying, Jake?
What other things are you guys most excited for? Like, what's your number one thing that you guys are most excited for? For me, is to get to Act 3 and to finish the story.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see
honestly
the rest of the main story.
Here's the thing: I love co-op games. I love them so much. Like, honestly, this is like co-op games are more fun to me than other single-player games a lot of times. So, like, I could play through the Baldur's Gate by myself, but I think I'm going to be playing more here with you guys. Like, wait. If I play through, it's only to look ahead a little bit, honestly.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do a healthy amount of both.
Yeah, but I mean, I find...
Or maybe unhealthy.
I find collaborative stuff way more fun, because, like, I think there'd be, like, no real way I'd play Red Dead Online unless I was playing with other people. I don't know if I'd check out the multiplayer for this at all if I wasn't playing with other people that I knew.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't imagine
this. That's true, yeah.
I couldn't do this with randos.
I don't think I could do it with randos.
Yeah, randos wouldn't work here.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, you never know what they're going to do. They might, like, you know, for instance, break open a canister of acid and then slip in it and die it 50 times.
Yeah, and they might
what a hassle.
Get stuck on top of the acid.
Yeah, just, you know, completely random scenario that we're definitely making up off the top of our heads right now.
That didn't happen to two different characters. Yeah. Level one characters are rough, guys.
Yeah, true, true.
All right. So, Jake, what's your thing you're looking forward to? What's your big...
Oh, he said finishing the story.
Finishing the story? What? Anything else?
I would say something along the lines with you, Matt, is, like, playing with you guys. Like, I'm having really fun developing my own story, my own interactions with... by myself solo. You know, but I feel like playing with the little bit that I played with Kyle was really, really, really fun. And I feel like you're taking a friend on the adventure. And then not only that, like with some other certain things, you can make your friends really uncomfortable. And I really enjoy that too. You know, like trying to pull the moves on Karlach, but like not doing so good. And then you're just like standing there awkwardly like, man, this guy is not very charismatic. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to explore this game and to really just kind of develop a really cool party, you know, and just the experience of it. And then hopefully take some stuff from here into like my solo sessions, you know, which if any of you guys want to hop onto my sessions with me, I'm more than willing to do it, but I'm looking forward to this run through specifically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What about you, Kyle?
I am excited for things to not go as planned, kind of go off the rails a little bit. And,
that's always fun.
I mean, like I've already had a development in my character in our campaign. Like I was totally convinced I was going to be doing, you know, dual wielding knives like Drax the Destroyer for my half orc barbarian character, and then we figured out, hey, there's a devil who's distracted fighting this mind flayer, and he's got a giant cool flaming sword. Let's kill him and take it. So we did, and now I have a giant flaming sword, and now the knives don't seem so cool to me anymore.
What you need to do is find two knives that are flaming knives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we found that, I might replace the sword. But I think I'm going to be sticking with that sword for a while.
To like give your knives fire damage. Anyways, mm-hmm. Did you guys watch the video about the squirrel? How there's like an actual interaction?
I did, and it was glorious.
Is there an actual squirrel that can kill you?
No. I thought he was just making that up.
It
was a TikTok video that a guy posted, and it has his reaction, and like he ends up rolling to punt the squirrel just to yeet it.
It's like a 15 out of like a 10, or like in what is it, like a 5?
It was a low DC. And he rolled like a 27 or something like that and booted it. And it just like slammed into a wall or a tree or something. And like just blood and gore everywhere. And the guy that was playing, like his face was like, oh, I just wanted to kick the thing out of here because it came up and bit me. But he just wrecked it.
And then the narrator goes.
Yeah.
And the narrator goes, and you are proud of it, but you're not sure why.
Yeah, I do like whoever does the narrator voice.
She's so cool. You guys have to watch the D&D playthrough, because the D&D playthrough, they have Asterion, they have Githraki Girl, Shadowheart, Will, and Gale.
Oh, you mean you're talking about like all the voice actors did a D&D in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, so cool. the main core NPCs are doing like a side quest that takes place within the game, and the narrator does like the little like narrations in between the stuff, and like they're so cool. It's you guys have to check it out.
That does sound cool. I'm super interested.
I'll have to. I wonder if Critical Role got some money to do a Baldur's Gate one.
That would be cool.
I think they avoided Critical Role.
Yeah, probably. Because
they're like, oh, it's so typical.
They get a lot of like cross promotion with other video games because they had like a Doom. Yeah. They made a Doom one shot one time.
Oh, that's sick.
When the game came out. Nice. And like an Elden Ring thing. And
oh, fun.
Yeah.
Ooh, so they should do a God of War one too.
If Critical Role does it, I want them to do J.K. Simmons' character. That we'll see soon, and Jason Isaac's character, which we'll see soon. So J.K. Simmons plays one of the best villains in this game. Same with Jason Isaac, and I cannot wait.
Jason Isaac does too?
Where you guys turn into that?
He's looking. Cool. Is he looking for pictures of Spider-Man?
He's a menace.
Or a driver, rather.
So to be funny, the character that J.K. Simmons plays does have like this weird obsession with one photograph. So yeah,
that's hilarious.
So. It's the narrator for Baldur's Gate 3 is Amelia Tyler. She's done voice work in over 60 video games.
Oh, dang.
I feel like, her voice did sound pretty familiar.
Her voice in very a lot prolific. Of games.
It seemed like she does a lot of tutorial stuff, I bet.
I could see that.
She sounded she kind of sounds like the same voice that does the, only played it very briefly, but the Hitman series. I think she might be the same voice actor.
I don't see Hitman in the list yet.
Oh, okay. Well, she sounds very similar.
Anyways, with that, does anyone have any final thoughts before we hop off to go get set up for the live stream?
No, it's just difficult to talk about this.
That's okay.
Without Jonathan here.
No, Jonathan.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah, she's got to say it right.
She said Jonathan.
Jonathan!
Oh. Jonathan!
Perfect.
That was perfect.
That is perfect.
I don't know why, but I'm good at copying people's tone of voice. It's fun.
All right. Well, if that is the case that we are wrapping up, then I suppose we can wrap up. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Comic Talk 616. I am Matt, the assistant to the assistant button pusher today.
I am Kyle, Pope Deity of the Church of Evidation.
I am Bad Mouth, the bird, trapped in the closet, dragonborn.
You guys had to be there.
I'm Steve.
I'm Lexi, the nameless.
All right. Well, thanks so very much for joining us. Check out our live stream if you haven't got a chance to. I think we're putting our thing on Twitch currently.
Yeah.
Cool.
Twitch and YouTube, I think.
Check it out.
Knights Radiant.
Well, it'll be on Twitch.
Check it out on Twitch. Check us out, Knights Radiant on Twitch. We're going to have some fun. It's basically our sister channel where we play games. So check us out there. Check out our podcast on Wednesday. Nerdy News Break, rather.
Unless you're set up to stream to the YouTube channel still.
I'd have to check on that.
You are on the PS4. You probably not.
It might have got transferred over with my stuff. It might have got transferred over with my stuff. We'll see.
Because if that's the case, then could stream to both.
We could. All right.
Anyways, but yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
If we don't die.
Yep. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Until next time. Yo.